Open that, folks will know that the doors are truly open. I'm actually opening your Bibles to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew 7. And we're going to be looking at verses 13 through 27. Matthew 7, verses 13 through 27. And when you then want to ask that you stand with me as we read it again. Matthew 7, 13, 27, it says, Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Where are false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Verse 18, a good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Verse 19, every tree that bringeth forth not good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Every tree that bringeth forth not good fruit, verse 20, wherefore by their fruits ye shall know them. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Verse 22, many will say to me in that day, Lord, 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 Lord. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Verse 24, therefore, whosoever heareth these things of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. Verse 25, the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And verse 26, and everyone that heareth these things of mine and doeth them, and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. Verse 27, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And we're blessed to the reading and hear his words unto the Lord. Eternal Father God, we thank you. Father, after the song and the song and the word of God, let's go forth, Father God, the master to your church, you know, Lord. Remove anything within that should not be. Father God, I come to confess that we all have fallen short by word, by thought, by deed. Thank you, Father God, that you have more forgiveness in you than we have sinned in us, Heavenly Father. Father God, we come praying to soften our hearts so we're able to receive the word of God. Unstop our ears so we may hear the word of God. And most of all, give us open our minds so we're able to process the revealed word, Father. That may leave in a better condition when we arrive, because we truly heard the word from on high this morning. It's in Jesus' name, the church. Amen. 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 Look at Matthew chapter 7, verse 13. And I like this for a thought this morning. Either or. Amen. Often we face either or decisions as we move through life. A moment of decision when there is but two choices to make. A lot of folks shrink from those decisive moments, but they come nonetheless. Some people have an either my way or the highway mentality. They're so narrow-minded that you're either right or wrong in their humble opinion. The spiritual realm is no different. In this passage, Jesus offers us no less than three either-or situations. In these areas, there is no compromise. You will either be one way or the other. There is no middle ground. We do not like to be forced to make decisions. We want to approach them and then decide about them in our own way, in our own time. Sadly, in these three areas that I want to point out this morning, you have already made your decision. Now you may have the opportunity. Now you have the opportunity to change that decision, but it has been made nonetheless. Allow me to point out these three either-or situations that Jesus described in these verses. Let me encourage you this morning to listen to the Word of God,
Look deeply into your own heart and do whatever you have to do to ensure that you'll end up on the Lord's side of each of these issues. I want to present each of these either-or situations along with a life principle. Amen? Let's allow the Lord to speak our hearts this morning, because your eternal destiny hinges on your being found on the same side as Jesus in these either-or situations. Point number one, either-or of your footsteps. And the life principle is that the road you travel always determines your destination. Look at verses 13 through 15. Enter ye at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go thereat. Verse 14, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly there are ravening wolves. Now look at the verses. One path is described as being wide in verse 13. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. This is a path that is easy to navigate with plenty of room, doesn't it? But look at this. The other side is described as being narrow. Look at verse 14. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leads unto life, and few. Where one verse talks about many will find it, this verse says, there be few, there be that find it. This means of it being more constricted with far less room. The broad path leads to destruction, which is hell. The narrow path leads to life, which is heaven. There are but two destinations for the soul of man. Every person in this church today will either go to heaven or hell, and you can't miss both. Right about so far.
Amen.
Heaven or hell, you can't miss both. Now, it's another one of those either-or situations. The broad path is accessed through a broad gate, as you see. In fact, everyone in this church was on a broad path when you came into this world. To continue on this broad path and this path of destruction requires that you do nothing. Amen. You are born into this world, headed in that direction, and since it's a broad way, you can carry all the baggage that you want with you. Amen. There's plenty of room for you and for all of your sins. And on the other hand, the narrow path is accessed through, the Bible says, a narrow gate. There's only one way to get on that path, and that path, that one way, is called Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. God's way is a very exclusive process.
Uh-huh.
Amen. It's not a family that you join in. You got to be born in.
Amen.
Right about so far. Amen. Passing through the narrow gate is going to require that you lose the excess baggage in your life. You cannot bring all your sins along. You cannot bring your other gods along with you. My God, right now so far this morning.
Amen.
Understand this, but this does not imply that those on a narrow path are perfect and do not sin, because we know that's not true. Amen. However, it does mean that we have repented of our sins. Mm-hmm. Right now so far. And that they have embraced Jesus and his plan for their lives. Do they fail? Of course. But failure is not their way of life. Why? Because the day that Christ got up, amen, we became victorious. We're not waiting to be winners. We're already on the winning team. We're on the one team.
Amen.
My God, so do we sin? Yes, we do. But sin is not a way of life for them either. They have committed their lives to the Lord Jesus Christ, and they sincerely want to please him, walk with him, and be more and more like him. They have changed. My question is, that your testimony this morning? Are you trying to walk with Jesus? Are you trying to act like Jesus? Are you trying to be more and more like Jesus this morning? Is that your testimony? Point number two is the either or of your fruit. And what's the life principle here is that the nature of your tree always determines the nature of your fruit.
Mm-hmm.
Right about so far. Look at verses 15 through 20. Beware, of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits.
Yeah.
Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Watch this thing. Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. Watch this now. Neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit.
Amen.
Mind you so far? Verse 19. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down, cut down, and cast into the fire. Verse 20. Whereby their fruits you shall know them.
Yes.
Amen. Jesus says there are two kinds of fruit that can be produced, good and bad. Verse 17, for even so every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. Good fruit is that which pleases the Lord and that which glorifies him before a lost and dying world. Right about it so far. Amen. It is fruit that is produced as a result of the work of the Holy Spirit in a person's life. It's nothing that you do, it's God working through you.
Amen.
Bad fruit is that which is produced by man naturally. It is the works of his flesh. It is evil, it is offensive to God. Jesus says that the nature of the fruit is determined by the nature of the tree.
Well.
See that so far? And an apple tree, you understand, an apple tree yields apples. Right? And an orange tree yields oranges. The only way to change the nature of the fruit is you got to change the nature of the tree.
Well,
right about so far.
Amen.
Amen. According to Jesus, the fruit your life yields says a lot about your life.
Yes.
Look at verse 16. You shall know them by their fruit. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Verse 17. Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. You see that so far? If you are producing good fruit, things spiritually acceptable in the sight of the Lord, then you have a good tree. However, if you consistently produce bad fruit, then your tree is bad as well.
Yeah.
Understand me, whatever you plant and nurture in your life will grow.
Yes, yes.
You plant and nurture the word of God, then God will grow in your life. You plant and nurture and feed the world will grow in your life. Right about so far.
Well.
Now, I understand this, but I'll be the first to admit, I realize that you cannot always tell the quality of the fruit by the outward appearance.
Mm-hmm.
However, as a general rule, if it walks like a duck, looks like a duck,
well,
and quacks like a duck, then it's probably a duck.
Mm-hmm.
Right about so far.
Amen. Amen.
A life that is lived in sin, disobedience, and rebellion to God is a life that is producing bad fruit.
Uh-huh.
Right about so far. Amen. Bad fruit suggests a bad tree.
Uh-huh.
A life that consistently exhibits the fruit of the Spirit is a life that's producing good spiritual fruit. Good fruit suggests a good tree.
Amen.
Neither can duplicate the other for very long. The nature of the tree will always come out in the fruit that it produces.
Amen, amen.
The good tree draws its life from Jesus, and as a result, it produces a life like his.
Well.
The bad tree, on the other hand, the bad tree draws its life from the world, and as a result, it produces a life like that of the world. Watch this now. Amen. Understand this morning. A spiritual person is not carnal all the time, and a carnal person is not spiritual any other time, and there's no such thing as a carnal Christian. With me so far.
Amen. Amen.
Watch this. Point number three. Amen. Point number three. The either or of your finality. It was the principle. The life principle is how you start always determines how you finish. Look at verses 24 to 27. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine will liken them unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock.
Mm-hmm.
And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon the house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock.
Yes.
Verse 26, and everyone that hear these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and it beat upon the house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Jesus tells us about two houses, doesn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Verse 24, therefore, whoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. In verse 26, and everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. No doubt outwardly, these two houses look alike.
Mm-hmm.
I got one more this morning. These two houses look alike. They had even been made of the same materials. Oh, one somewhere this morning. They've been made of the same materials. The only difference in the two was the kind of foundation each house rested upon.
Yes, yes. Come on now.
One was built upon the sand, while the other was built upon the rock.
Come on.
Each house was subjected to the same kind of abuse.
Yes, well, yes.
A storm came, the Bible says.
Yes.
In verse 25, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock.
Yes, yes.
Verse 27, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and it beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. My God. Rain fell, winds blew, and savage floods wrapped themselves around these houses. My God. One house fell in the storm, but when the storm was over, one house was still standing.
Yes,
amen.
Yes, yes.
Did you know that every person in this church this morning is a builder?
Yes.
Amen. Your life is like a house. It looks pretty much like all the other houses around it, doesn't it?
Yes.
Amen. It is made from the same materials. It is also attacked by the same variety of storms. The storms of sickness, the storms of sin,
come on.
The storms of temptation,
come on.
And storms in heaven. My God, watch this thing. you know that you know Christ. Amen. So I ask you again, what kind of house are you building this morning? Are you building your house, the song says, on Christ, the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand? Is your house sinking this morning, or is your house sinking on sinking sand this morning? Because it matters. These verses tell us of some false people who will stand before the Lord at the great white throne. Amen. The person all has a profession of faith, but these people have a false profession. You got to be sure that you're in that number. Be sure that you're in that number. Why? Because it matters. It matters. And we cannot go by how the houses look on the outside. It's about how the houses are on the inside. Amen. Do not build your salvation around religion. Amen. Build it around a relationship with Jesus Christ. Not around religion, but around relationship. That's what God wants. He wants a relationship with you. We got too many folks following religion. What's religion? Traditions of the church.
Amen.
He doesn't want you wrapped in tradition. He wants you wrapped in his love. He wants you wrapped in his deliverance. He wants you wrapped in his salvation. And he's called us to write this morning. He's sought unstopping ears. He's softened your heart. He's opened your mind. Do not leave the same way in which you came in. But you need to really be sure that you are saved by God's grace this morning. And when you have three folks come down in the church, let's bring them down to two. You have two folk come down in the church, and they both look like candidates for salvation. One goes to heaven, one goes to hell. Why? Good question. I'll tell you why. Got two folks that come down to be saved. One goes to heaven, one goes to hell. Why? Because one was just sorry about facing the consequences. The other one was godly sorry to repentance. You follow me? Godly repentance requires a direction change. You gotta stop going down and start looking up.
Amen.
Just being sorry requires no direction change. You just are sorry. A lot of those are numbered. A lot of folks came to Christ not because they wanted their lives changed, but because they didn't like the prospects of burning in hell.
Amen.
Right about it. So I don't want to die and go to hell, so I'll just accept Christ. But to know Christ is to follow Christ and to live for Christ. How can you, for those who know about electricity, amen, when you really grab onto Jesus, it's like grabbing onto a 10,000 volt electrical wire. If you grab a hot wire, you know about electricity, you grab a hot wire, something's going to happen.
Yes.
Right about it. Especially a 10,000 volt wire. You can't let go of that wire. Somebody got to knock you off. That's how it is in Christ. When you really grab on to Christ, you can't just let go. Somebody got to try to knock you off of Christ. And if I already tried, if they try to hang on to you long enough, they're going to start getting shot. Oh, wow.
Amen.
This is why you gotta be careful with the folks that you're hanging around with, even in the church. Because everybody that cries more and more, as we see, ain't going to heaven.
Amen.
Everybody that say they're saved ain't going to be in heaven. Because the Bible says, what does it say? The broad way. And we said, there'll be many that will find that broad way to destruction. But the narrow way, there'll be few that go therein.